This it's the mad scientist's wet dreams.
Gleaming steel and copper and science!
This is part two of our story about Rocket Man Paddy Noman and his big play for a couple of million dollars of venture capital. If you haven't heard part one, stop. Go back and listen. Paddy's building an iron engine, a rocket. You'll hear him make his big pitch.
It is a solid-fueled, highly efficient spacecraft motor that is designed to move objects in space from one orbit to another or to keep your satellite in the correct orbit using solid metals as fuel.
And last week, Paddy got his big chance to pitch to Australian VC firm Carthona Capital.
I've spent my time standing in line at Centrelink, so I know what it's like to stand in line and wait to, and ask people for money.
They came into his lab and he put it all on the line. This is what he needs to get his rocket into space.
I'm going to assume you guys did all right in Year 10 physics, Year 10 science, and I'm going to pitch it at that sort of level.
Right, perfect.
A minuscule number of pitches ever get funding. Will Paddy be one of them?
You have three new voice messages.
Damien Fox from Carthona Capital. Just calling to let you know we've come to a conclusion on human space. So could you please give me a call back at your earliest convenience?
This is Control Z, where we unravel technology and internet culture. I'm Will Ockenden.
And I'm Yasmin Parry. But before we can find out Paddy's fate, it only seems fair that we throw ourselves into the lion's den.
We've got 10 minutes to get a pitch down and then go and ask for $1 million.
Everyone has a startup idea, right? Your secret million-dollar app that if you just had the chance would make you unimaginably rich. Now, if you were going to meet the big bosses at a tech VC firm, why wouldn't you seize the moment?
Are you nervous?
I am a bit, yeah.
Do you think your idea's got legs?
No.
We canvassed high and low for the perfect idea. We hit up our colleagues.
We emailed everyone in our department for suggestions, and we got one reply, which was from the finance guy to say, take a lawyer.
We asked family and friends.
Another one that I really like that you hate, I've just called it chicken social media. I just think it'd be great if people with chickens had their own social media place, but you hate it.
I don't hate it. I just think it's incredibly niche. I mean, that's the thing. Are you saying is it photo based or is
it? Yeah, it's everything. It's everything. It's a bit nebulous. Let's say I haven't really thought this one through, but
right, okay.
I think the name Chicken Social Media is probably like that's locked in. That's done.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the best part of the idea.
It just rolls
so
off the tongue.
A lot of the ideas we heard were so bad that even we rejected them. Some had already been done. A few of them were clever, but required a working prototype that we didn't have time to make.
Yeah, it's the time there that we didn't have. Not the skills or the money or the resources or the people or even the imagination. It's a time issue.
Yeah, totally. After a 20-minute discussion / argument, we settled on an idea.
I think they're going to laugh us out of the room. And, you know, I got a text from one of the guys that we're about to meet last night. And I said, you know, that we've got this idea that we want to pitch. And he said, maybe this will be one of those anecdotal stories you tell for years to come about how you're a billionaire and how you got your first VC funding round.
Could be today.
It could be today.
We rode the lift to Carthona's office on the 15th floor. It has panoramic views of Sydney Harbour. It was a long shot, but what started as a joke idea to get us into the startup mindset became extremely real once we were in the boardroom, seated across from Dean and James, the two men holding the purse strings. I took a deep breath.
Okay, this is actually really nerve-wracking now that I'm here in this moment.
And took my best shot.
Okay, so we're living in Mike Baird's Sydney. A lot of restrictions on being able to go out and being able to party. So we are going to have the Uber for parties. It's an app. It's called Party Starter. And you can register your party. It could be anything from as small as a dinner party to you're having a warehouse rave, you're having a book club. And you can set the price for your tickets. And obviously the app takes part of that money. As you build up a client base, you know, you've got young people getting involved, you can start getting businesses on board. They can start registering, you know, the museum's having an opening night, you know, the local cinema's having a night, they can set their tickets and then you can start advertising those on the platform as well. Boom. There's our pitch.
Well done. It takes a big effort to pitch.
That's Dean Durrell. He and James Singh are Carthona Capital's head honchos. Every year, they hear 300 to 400 pitches, ideas for apps, for businesses, for products, for services, for websites, ideas just like mine. Well, maybe slightly better.
My saying amongst my colleagues will laugh is that when I don't like a pitch, I call it, especially because it's a niche, I call it scuba diving for dogs in the eastern suburbs. And I think yours is a bit scuba diving for dogs in eastern suburbs.
Too narrow?
Yeah, too narrow. Too narrow, doesn't stand out enough. Difficult to have any sort of moat around the business to stop people copying your idea.
Fail.
It's all right, back to the drawing board. It's always next time.
So our app idea was not what they were after. And Will and I are probably not the people to do it, even if it was.
The best ideas usually don't come from people trying to say, right, I need an idea. It usually comes from this nagging itch that people have that say, that's so annoying, I'm going to have to solve that. Or some sort of hobby where people say, you know, I'm really interested in this, and it just blossoms into a business.
Carthona are chasing big ideas, big markets, big opportunities with good teams of people. They're after a product that could change the world because that means a big payout.
Ideas aren't enough. Ideas are just the kernel of some sort of business. It's all about execution and perseverance.
There are 9 partners at Carthona Capital, but James and Dean are in the trenches. They're the guys who go out and hear the pitches. They meet the people like Paddy, and they decide who is worth investing in.
My background is actually a chartered accountant many, many years ago, then moved into the world of investment banking for about 15 years.
James was a banker. Dean was into bonds.
Was a trained economist, a mathematician, went to an investment bank and was a bond trader, proprietary trader, arbitrager.
Dean then started a number of businesses. He's been on the startup side of the game as well. But eventually, they both made the leap into venture capital.
Every time that, you know, Dean and I agree that we want to invest in a company, prima facie, first step is we're putting our own money in.
Now, being a venture capitalist sounds just about like the best gig in the world. You have heaps of cash, ideally other people's, and you give it out like a magical money Santa Claus.
We're not so fussed about what people that are not our entrepreneurs think about us. We're very focused on what the entrepreneurs think about us once we're involved with them, and we take the relationship with them very seriously.
Where's your monocle and your top hat, and where's the room in this building with all that money in it that you go swimming in at lunchtime?
It's all invested with entrepreneurs.
But it's not all jet-setting around, listening to pitches and doling out money.
Initially thought investing in startups seemed pretty easy. You give someone some money, sit back and wait for the billion-dollar return, and how hard can it be? I suppose what I've learnt, and I think Dean has a similar history over 15 years, that you couldn't get further from the truth.
When all you hear about is the companies they've successfully funded, it's easy to forget the ones they missed, the ones that went broke, or the people they said no to. That's the majority of people. People come to them with their babies, their ideas that they've worked on for months, years, maybe even their life's work. They certainly didn't come up with it 20 minutes earlier in the car park outside. Dean and James have to turn down hundreds of people every year.
We're in the business of disappointment. I heard an old VC once tell me we're in the business of spitting on people's babies. It's tough, you know, people come in here having really thought about a dream, and often it's seen as funding is real validation of either their business idea but themselves. Often we say to people, you don't necessarily need to be funded to build a proper business. You can build a business with clients, customers, revenue. But some businesses do need funding and need professional funding, and the market for providing that funding isn't particularly big in Australia. So if we say no, that restricts people's ability to build their business and really go for their dream. So we feel that, you know, we've been the other side of the fence as well. But in the end, we have to make rational decisions.
And it's a pretty wild job. If they back a success story, they get the glory. But they're also responsible if they pick a dud.
So of that small percentage that you actually invest in every year, what's your success rate for you guys getting a return? I mean, how good is your judgment in picking a winner?
It's awesome. We're still a relatively young firm. We've had one successful exit so far. We've had actually no businesses go bust yet, which is actually, you know, it's quite surprising. And most of our businesses are actually on a really good track, and we've got, I would say, three in our portfolio really outperforming.
A week earlier, Paddy Noman made his big pitch to Carthona Capital, asking for $1 to $2 million in funding. And since then, we've been waiting to find out if he hit a home run or if he struck out.
This thing can be the next big thing. We want it to be that way. We need help to develop it. And we think that they're interested in helping us along that way.
On the Monday, we got the call that Carthona had made their decision.
New message.
Hi, Yasmin. Just calling to let you know we've come to a conclusion on human space.
The deck is stacked against Paddy. Carthona Capital hear 300 to 400 pitches a year and fund only a handful, low, low single figures. And while Paddy comes off great in person, the VC guys told us he had missed the mark on his paper pitch.
They actually sent us a deck in the first instance, which is in the bottom 10% of pitching decks we've ever seen. It was awful. It was incomplete. And just not what you should send to a venture capitalist. It was made up from a template. It still had the template in, and probably the usable information was probably less than 5%, and in a horrible formatting, incredibly difficult to read. And if I hadn't thought about such a big idea and Paddy being a successful pitcher, we would have thrown it out of hand and it wouldn't have even been discussed.
Was the font Comic Sans by any chance?
No, I don't think it was Comic Sans. I think probably that would have been the death knell.
This was news to us. When we heard Paddy pitch a week ago, there was no mention of a pitch deck.
Because when we left the uni after Paddy had finished, it really did feel like the pitch could go either way.
Yeah, he came off so well. You know, he's so well-spoken. He does this kind of thing all the time. Obviously, the Rocket's really interesting. But then on the other hand, the Carthona guys made it pretty clear that they don't usually back science. They go for businesses.
We're deciding on whether Neumann Space is a deal that Carthona Capital wants to fund. Usually that's a series of decision gates about whether it's a no. It's not automatically a yes to start with, but it's a question of, is it a no now? Is it a no now? Is it a no now? And finally we'll end up as a yes.
So I guess the big question is, are you going to provide the money that Paddy wants?
We're not a definite no. What we've definitely decided to do is go to the next steps, which is do a lot more due diligence on the business and specifically the people involved. And I would say generally only 10% of people get through to this level. So it's a big tick for them.
This is big news for Paddy. Despite his bad paper pitch, he's overcome the odds. And amazingly, he's got the VCs interested in this heavily science-based idea. Carthona are now going to start seriously researching his company and look closer at getting into the nitty-gritty of a possible deal.
I think a lot of it is to do with the vision and scale of what they're trying to do. Often people talk about things having global scale. This has got a scale that's much bigger than global, you know, so to speak. It's, you know, interplanetary travel is pretty big. So I guess we're really interested in the idea. Now it's a question of really trying to work out, is there a business behind a smart idea?
Paddy has a long way to go, but this is a huge leap. This could mean that one day, very soon, Paddy's rocket will make it into outer space. And so we stood with Paddy in the Footbridge Theatre Auditorium at the University of Sydney when he got the call.
There we go. G'day, Paddy Noman speaking. How are you guys doing?
For a guy wearing a crochet beret, Paddy is a pretty restrained guy. But make no mistake, he knows how important this call is.
I look forward to seeing you two gentlemen as well. Hope you have a wonderful evening. Have a great night. Thanks for your time. Bye. So, this telephone call was just to say that they've really liked what they've seen. They want to enter into a technical due diligence stage with us. So they haven't said, yes, they're going to give us cash, but we've got through the first stage filter with this firm.
So it's not a no?
It's most definitely not a no.
How do you feel? That's good.
I feel pretty damn good. Yeah.
congratulations is in order, I guess.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to having a nice couple of beers at the Forest Lodge Hotel. Oh, yeah.
That's all for Control Z for this week and for this season. Forever. Maybe not forever. We'll probably be back at some point. A big shout out to the team at ABC Radio Current Affairs and ABC's First Run for helping us and guiding us along the way.
And a big thanks to our audio engineers, Andre Shabunov. Thanks for the chocolate. And Stephen Tilley, thanks for everything else.
Making us sound good.
Yeah, they're masters. They are ninjas.
Wizards.
Much appreciated.
And a big thanks to you for listening. It's been really fun. Done a lot of silly stuff over the last 8 episodes. Made a stupid game. Talked to my famous nephew.
Who's more famous than you.
More famous than me. He lives in China now.
Yeah. Jet going setter. Places.
Yeah.
And I hacked your computer.
Oof.
That was good fun.
Yeah.
I haven't done that again since. Promise. Promise.
I'm going to have to trust you on that one.
You can find us on Twitter. Yasmin's at Yasmin Parry. I'm at Will_Ock. Tweet us and tell us what you think of our series, because we really like to hear from you.
Hopefully we'll be back soon. Keep an eye on the podcast feed.
Bye.
Bye.